can help you out. Tell you who to start at QB, make you the king of fantasy. Check out the matchups. Now use all the experts and our tools at the FanDuel Manual. The Manual.
Welcome back to week four of the FanDuel Manual. I am your host, Brendan Barnett. Joining me, as always, is Doug Hayes. Doug, I'm glad you could join me. I'm glad we could rejoin society with our podcast. Chris and Mark couldn't make it this week, just like they couldn't make it last week. Tell me what you think about the sporadic nature of our podcast.
I have two thoughts on this. One is I somewhat understand we're grown adults and we have lives, and it is a little crazy that we do these podcasts late at night and have fun with it. So I kind of understand, but
it's not crazy, Doug.
Give me a break.
There's nothing crazy about
this. Second, the reason we do these podcasts is to hang out with each other and catch up and talk football, which all guys love to do in America, and I think it should be so fun for them. I don't know why they try and be so negative. The second part of this, which hurts me the most, is they're really good at FanDuel. Chris and Mark are unbelievable at FanDuel. Me and Brendan are like CJ Anderson and Jeremy Hill, and I know it's just week three.
My picks are as strong as Peyton Manning's arm.
It's week three, so you can't overreact. But they have been pretty dominant in the first 2 weeks, and we'll make sure and include their picks on the Facebook and on the website and everything. But it's only week three. Let's not overreact. We still got plenty.
Week three. It's week four now.
No, week four, but week three has been done. You know what I mean, man? I think we have good teams this week, so I'm excited to tell about my team.
So I wish that this was our only job doing this, but there's a problem. It doesn't pay anything at all. In fact, I think it costs us some money to do this. But
costs us our
we're going to try to be more. What's that?
Costs us our relationships with our wives. Who cares about that?
We're going to try and do a better job of getting these out. Either way, regardless, we'll always have the website updated. We'll always get you the spreadsheet that you can download on the Facebook page at FanDuel Manual on Twitter. You can go to the website, FanDuelManual.com. Let me tell you a little bit about the spreadsheet. Hopefully by now you know all about it. But basically, like we said, we have jobs. We have other things going on in our lives. Now, one of the most important part of our lives is football. But because we have other jobs, we can't dedicate all our time to researching what the matchups look like, what we project for every single player. But there are people who do that. So what we do with the spreadsheet is we go out, we collect all that. I would say, let's see, this with all the different sites that we collect the data from, we probably have over 30 experts' picks together in this spreadsheet. So we take the average and we tell you what the projected points are. We take that against the FanDuel cost, and we give you the best steals, the best values at each position, so you can dominate your duels. It is Thursday night when we're recording this podcast. So right now we're in the middle of the Pittsburgh and Baltimore games. So we won't be talking about either of those teams. And Tennessee and New England are on byes. So everyone who's been stacking Patriots and probably raking in cash, you're going to have to wait until week five to do that again. Let's see. So, Doug, any tips, any big things that you would need to call out for week four?
No, one of the things I would say is, yes, Chris and Mark have won the first 3 weeks, but we're still putting up good teams. I still won $200 last week. Week one, I won $300. So, yes, they have won out of the four of us, but our teams have been pretty good. So, I'm feeling good about this year. Yeah, I'm feeling very good about this year. and I'm really feeling good about this team. One of the things that always worries me is, like, and I know this isn't true because this, every time we do, just the four of us, none of us have the same players. But when I pick the teams, I honestly think I have the perfect team, and I'm sure that everybody's picking the same as me. But it's not true. Like, you make one decision, a guy that's $7,500 versus $7,400, it changes your whole team around. So,
yeah, it's crazy. I looked at my team. I was like, everyone's going to have this team.
Yeah.
Come on. Right. Of course they're going to have these guys. But never doesn't work that way. So, Doug, we always talk about this. If you get in, I think if you've heard our podcast before, you know that we really, really encourage people to get in on the Thursday night games.
Yep.
Because we know that a lot of dummies just only pick the Thursday night game people so they can see high points. But I have a new reason to do that, Doug.
What's that?
So when you pick your team on Sunday, you can see the percentage that they're owned. So what I want to do is put like a dollar on a Thursday game and just pick some of these guys who maybe are pick some of the lower costing players. Even if, like, you know, even if you have $7,000 left over, what you can do is through all the tournaments that happen Thursday and include all the Sunday games, you can select the guys and you can see, get an idea for the Sunday matchups. What's the percentage of people that are going to own that? So if you're in some of those bigger league tournaments where you can have multiple entries and you want to maybe take a flyer on one of those value picks, you can get an idea. Is it a value pick that not a lot of people are going to have, or you spent, or a lot of people kind of thinking in that same way?
That's interesting. So you would, if you see somebody that's super high, everybody has them, you would stay away from that guy. And if it's someone that's maybe 10% have, and you think could be a good pick, you take that guy on a flyer.
Yeah. So, like, for instance, I know we're going to talk about like this guy a little bit, but Carlos Williams, I think we probably both have this week, right, Doug?
Yep.
So with, I'll just give a little
Carlos with a K.
Yep. With he's got a rushing touchdown in each game. He's the number two back behind LeSean McCoy, and McCoy's going to be out, so I think you can expect a big workload and a big day for him. But you know, he costs $6,300. If you take our spreadsheet and you sort it, including all positions, he tops the charts. Like, he's far and away the best value. So I'd be curious. I didn't do it this week, but I would have been curious if you joined the Thursday league to see what's the percentage of people who own Carlos Williams in their leagues.
So a good point would be to check if you do the Sunday night ones and the Thursday night ones and see Carlos Williams. So you would know, like, if Thursday nights are way lower, that's a great pickup because you think he's going to be good and less people have him. So I agree with that a lot.
Yeah, right? Neat little trick.
Yeah, that's a great one. I'm going to try that.
We'll have to wait till next week to try that one, buddy.
I'm going to try it.
All right, well, let's get into our picks. So I'll kick it off and we'll start with QBs. If you take a look at the overall top projected, so again, something else that we take a look at, and I know, Doug, you put some time into this, but you can look at the Vegas line, see what the over-under is. If they think it's going to be a high-scoring game, chances are it's going to be a high-scoring game. Get some guys in that game, and vice versa, right? We also have defensive rankings, so if a team's going up against San Francisco or Jacksonville or New Orleans, those are players that you're going to want to start. If they're going up against Arizona, Denver, Carolina, those are guys you might want to, you know, you might want to curb your expectations a little bit. For QBs, the top projected point scores are Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, and then Luck in that order, which kind of surprises me because Luck's been kind of shitting the bed lately. And then for best cost per point, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, and then Ryan Mallett shows up in those projections. Who'd you take for your QB this week, Doug?
So I do like Cam Newton. I think he's playing unbelievable. He has people give Cam Newton a lot of grief.
I like his commercials.
But he like has no weapons at all, and he still does very well. But I did not take him. I took Aaron Rodgers. I just think he's on his game. I think this whole where is it Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers the best quarterback is even more motivating Aaron Rodgers to be awesome. And they're playing.
And he's missing his number one weapon.
Yeah, they're playing the 49ers. They have been murdered by teams. I think, I don't know how you cannot choose him against this one. Now, I get nervous because it's so black and white, but San Francisco gave up a ton to Carson Palmer. San Francisco has been giving up a ton to every team. So, Aaron Rodgers, I know it's a lot of money, but had to do it, 9,200.
I chose Aaron Rodgers also. I have Rodgers in my fantasy, like my regular fantasy league. I was down by 60, over 60 points before the Monday night game, and I had Aaron Rodgers and Jeremy Maclin. I was like, there's no way. Like, it would be impossible, like a miraculous comeback. I just kept watching the game. I was like, okay, another touchdown. Rodgers had 5 touchdowns, and Maclin went off also. It was a lot of junk time for Maclin, but, man, Aaron Rodgers is good. With Tom Brady 30. Out this week, I don't think there's any question. So I say go spend the money. He's 7,900. I just say go spend that money.
No, who is? Rodgers is 9,200.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at the DraftKings. You're right. Yeah. He's 9,200.
He's
9,200. Yeah, 7,900 would be a steal.
You spend it, though. Like, the thing is with, like, DraftKings and fantasy football in general is, yeah, you can choose a guy that might do well, but can also destroy you. And it's terrible watching someone that's just, you took a flyer on and it is not panning out and it just is ruining your team. Where with Rodgers, it's just so fun to watch knowing you have that guy. And every time they cut to the Packers, you know you're gold. It's if you have the chance, I think you should pick him up.
There's some guys you probably want to, like, one that sticks out in my mind that you might want to stay away from is Stafford. He's going to be in, but he's going to be playing injured. I just don't think it's a good matchup this week. I would stay away from Stafford this week. Also, of course, because he's playing the Denver Broncos D, Teddy Bridgewater is a sit.
Do not sit him. Do not play him. I think one of the good plays would be, this is crazy, like, the Raiders are awful. They're 2-1 somehow. I think Carr.
Del Rio's genius.
In Chicago, I don't know. I mean, it would be very nerve-wracking starting Carr. But
who's the backup in Chicago?
McGroin.
McGloin.
McCowan, and I think he is, because the Raiders are not that good, so they're always going to be trying to win shootouts, and they just go for it. And with Cooper, who's one of my receivers, I would take a shot with Carr.
I don't think that's a bad play. And then somebody else who's just been pretty consistent, that's been cheap, is Tyrod Taylor. It's Jimmy Clausen is there. You're thinking of last year.
Oh, Clausen.
Clausen.
That guy is good. I'll pick him up.
Yeah, I don't think
pick him up.
Tyrod Taylor is also another, just, he's been a consistent guy. He's getting to the point, though, where you're going to have to pay for him. When he started off the season, it was lower, and he's kind of climbing up the price range chart. Let's go take a look at running backs. And so Le'Veon Bell tops the list, but because he's playing right now, next up for highest point projected scores are Matt Forte, Jamaal Charles, and then Marshawn Lynch. For best point value per point, we have Carlos Williams, Matt Forte, and then Lance Dunbar. We already talked. We both have Carlos Williams. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you have anything to add on him? I would bet he's going to be over 20% owned in huge tournaments. He's one of those guys that is going to be expected to do really well this week. He costs 6,300. McCoy's going to be out. I just think
it's a great matchup where it's like, it's not a high, like, offensive teams. Buffalo likes to play a running game and play good D, and just fits perfectly for him if LeSean McCoy's out. Now, if LeSean McCoy on Sunday, they say he's going to play, you got to get rid of him. Like, that's not going to be good. But if he's the number one running back, I think big things coming from him.
Even with McCoy in, he's got a touchdown in every single game.
I know. I just there's good options out there. If McCoy is playing, it definitely limits that choice. But if he's out, oh man, I think he's gonna do great.
My next pick is my questionable. I'm on my roster. I always have one questionable player, and this week that questionable player is Thomas Rawls. At home, Detroit running back against, I'm sorry, Seattle running back against Detroit. And he's 6,000. Last week, he.
Did you say Rawls?
Rawls.
Who's that guy?
You know who he is because you have Lynch on your team, buddy. Uh-huh. You know exactly who that guy is. I'll tell you who I think he is. I think he is the future running back for the Seattle Seahawks. Lynch kind of reminds me of like Frank Gore. Like, just keep thinking, no way can some guy run this physical, this aggressive, and stay healthy. And then every year he still just does good. But last week he was out, and Rawls had 104 yards on 16 carries. That's his only game, so I feel like they're going to work him in. They're going to use him. Now, of course, I'm going to keep my eye on what it looks like with Marshawn Lynch, but. I think Rawls, I'm hoping he's going to go off this week, but I could see him becoming a more relevant fantasy play as the season progresses.
I think those two players would have been amazing if you're doing the Thursday night where you're locked in and then McCoy and Lynch are out. That's kind of the way you got to play those risky moves. But if Sunday comes around and they're playing, you're obviously not going to feel so comfortable with those two guys.
Screwed.
Lynch. I think Lynch. I took.
Who do you have?
I took in my actual fantasy teams, I took CJ Anderson.
Me too.
And Marshawn Lynch. Those are my top two people. It is.
I took Aaron Rodgers number one, and then I got CJ Anderson on the way back in both my
leagues.
Oh
my God. It's been a nightmare.
One of those guys is good.
I would trade CJ Anderson for a Kit Kat bar right now.
I've been trying to trade him. Everyone laughs at me.
You're trying to sneak him in like CJ Anderson and Ertz. You want
I'm like package dealing him with like other players that I picked up on the waivers just to make it seem better. Makes it worse.
I did a trade with a guy and he turned it down. And then right after he turned it down, I just dropped that guy, and he's like, what the fuck, man? You trying to trick me or something? Like, no. So I do have Carlos Williams as well with a K. And
why do you say that?
I don't know. It's weird that he spells it that way. And it's I may change it. If LeSean McCoy says he's playing, I may change it by Sunday. The other player I did was Murray with the Raiders. That guy is a beast. They give it to him all the time. Latavius, yeah. He's in the top five running back right now. They just feed him. He's been playing really good matchups, and this week is no different. Chicago, you cannot ask for a better matchup, especially if Oakland somehow gets up on Chicago. They're going to really feed him. So for 7,500, you can choose some more expensive running backs. But one of the things I've noticed in FanDuel is recently is spend your money on wide receivers. Get the best wide receivers. And running backs, find someone in the middle, and you're going to be good to go because it's hard to choose these running backs. Some they're so inconsistent. One week they'll do really great. The next week they'll just do poorly. But the top line wide receivers, they do well every single week. So I'm trying to put my money in wide receivers. And this week I'm doing Carlos Williams and Latavius Murray.
Save some money. Yeah, he's got a – I mean, right now, so he's got 11 targets, 11 receptions for 68 yards. So he's involved in their passing game. Mm-hmm. And those half points per reception add up. But, I mean, that's their go-to guy. So
yeah,
I like
over
that pick
20
a lot.
Last year. Nope. Last year, not last week.
You had what?
I just want to let everyone know that I've been drinking a little bit. I just won the my team just won the kickball championships in Colorado. It's not a big deal.
It's a big deal to me. That sounds like fun. I should have been there.
And one of our players, we won 3-2. So it's really hard to score in kickball because there's nowhere to kick it. Like you can try and outkick the outfield, no chance. The ball does not go that far. So we had an outfielder who they kicked it deep to him. He slipped on the grass right away, like right the second the ball was kicked. He was on the ground, and he thought the ball, he could get to it by sliding on his back. So he was like doing like a turtle move on his back to catch this thing. And I was thinking like, oh my God, this is going to be the most amazing catch. And then the ball landed about 10 to 15 feet behind him, and it was a home run. So now he'll never hear the end of it. But
it reminds me of the scene in Back to the Future when Michael J. Fox does the guitar solo and is like sliding on his back and then looks over at the crowd and they're just like,
it was insane.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh man. What are you doing?
Well, good. I'm glad you recovered and still won the game.
Yeah, no problem, man. Don't worry about it.
Let's talk about a real sport besides kickball. Let's talk about football again.
Let's do it. Let's talk about the Denver Broncos. What are your feelings about the Broncos?
Denver Broncos defense is so awesome and so fun to watch. I actually have Denver Broncos defense again this week. They are nasty. they're only 4,700, and oh my God! When I was watching that,
I have the Broncos D too.
I was watching the Kansas City game, and our offense looked so stupid and inept. Like one guy swiped at Peyton Manning, like just didn't even touch him, and Peyton threw himself on the ground. I was like, well,
like he'd been shot.
It looks like the Kennedy assassination when somebody just is approaching him. So I was thinking, and I even told Mary this. I go, luckily, our defense is good, and they might score enough touchdowns to win this game for us somehow. And that last play when they got that fumble, I mean, our offense did start to come together a little bit. They started looking a little bit better. They're progressively getting better each week, which I like, and the defense just looks crazy.
It's so fun to watch.
If that offense can get going, man, we could have a chance, but
oof, there's some teams. So there's a lot of undefeated teams, and I think – you know, we're in the middle of the pack of the undefeated teams, but our potential upside is much higher than some teams. I think Atlanta's playing out of their ass with Julio Jones and everybody. But New England scares me. Well, we got those guys at home, and I cannot wait for that game. I'll pay whatever to go to that game. I don't care.
You're bad luck at those games, man.
You're right. Best luck ever.
No.
All right.
Go see him in the regular season, not in the playoffs.
I ain't going.
You mentioned this last week to me. I like that everyone's saying that they suck. I like that everyone's like saying how bad they are. I think it's motivating them. And it also, like, even though we're 3-0, none of those guys on that team, if they turn the news on ever, none of those guys are thinking that they're the best team in the NFL, so they know they got to still work at it.
Yeah, they got good upside where teams like the Patriots, big-time downside, because everyone thinks they're going undefeated this year.
Who thinks that?
Everyone.
Shit.
I've seen like 9 articles about the Patriots going undefeated.
Well, they got to come through Denver for once in 10 years.
And they got to play with non-Nerf balls. Fuck those fuckers. Can't stand those suckers.
To be fair, though, if they were playing this week, I'd probably have 2 of them on my lineup. They're good this year.
Yeah, the guy that steals the plays and the guy that deflates the balls. I'll have them both on my team.
How much do those guys cost?
Oh, there's no price high enough.
You can buy integrity in New England. all right, for wide receivers, the top projected point scorers are... that is running backs. The top projected point scorers are Demaryius Thomas, Julio Jones, and DeAndre Hopkins. The DeAndre Hopkins is the only one who stays in that conversation when you switch to best point cost per point. But Jeremy Maclin jumps up into that conversation, and so does Steve Smith Sr., who I've liked for the past – I've liked every week so far. He's he's playing with old man strength. He's no joke right now. But I don't
it's
have –
It's like more. If you try and fight someone's dad. They have, like, dad strength, and you're like, no way, that guy will kill us.
He put the senior on his name, and
yeah,
he just...
Yeah, like, no way, I'm not... That's your dad? I'm not fucking with that dude. That guy's so pissed and angry. I don't know how he's doing tonight, but he's just... This is his last season, so if there's... And also, they have no one else to throw it to. Or run. Forsett's been doing jack, so that's they're his only option, so...
You're right. I needed to take Antonio Brown out and Steve Smith because they're playing tonight. So Jordan Matthews is the next one up.
Yeah.
And then Randall Cobb is behind him for cost per point.
Ooh, he could be bad big time.
That guy's nasty. He's also the next. He's right after DeAndre Hopkins for highest projected point scorer.
All right. Can I do my receivers?
Go for it.
Number one, Cooper. For the Raiders.
Amari
Cooper.
Amari?
He's legit.
What kind of a name is that?
He is the Beckham of this year.
Yeah,
and
he's doing.
And he's not going to have a lot of great matchups or anything, but this is the matchup at Chicago. They can't stop nobody. And they're on a roll, him and Carr. This is it, man. He's going to do great. And he's going to be really good for a lot of years. Like, it's crazy how wide receivers are becoming, like, right out of college, they can be so good.
Can emerge, yeah. Last year we had a bunch of them. I think this year's not going to be any different. He's probably going to lead the pack, though, this year.
He is dirty. And then, you want to do yours?
Yeah, I'll do one.
Okay.
I got, I like Dante Moncrief this week. He's against Jacksonville. And... He, just like Carlos Williams with a K, has a touchdown in every single game. He's pretty much made Andre Johnson obsolete on that offense.
What a bust that guy is.
He looks like, I don't know. I know that Luck's been really, really bad, and Moncrief has still been a good option, so I feel like Luck's going to bounce back. Luck's a good quarterback. I think this could be that week that he kind of – that Luck – has a really good game, which means good things for Moncrief. Plus, the Jags, who were really just decimated by the Patriots last week, I think that might happen. That might happen to Jacksonville a lot, but I don't think I think Indy's going to be kind of the same story. So I look for Moncrief to have a big game.
Yeah, I think Luck is he's had a tough start, man. I don't know what he's a little reckless. I think he just. Knows how good he is, and he tries a lot of plays, but I think Moncrief and Hilton should do some crazy things this week as well, if you can afford him. The other receiver...
He's only 6,300.
Who is?
Oh, you mean Hilton?
Yeah.
Moncrief's only 63.
Yeah, I know, Moncrief's. How much is Hilton?
Hilton is going to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
Hilton is 7,600.
One of those weeks is coming up for Hilton where he does 225 and three touchdowns.
Moncrief's quick though, man. I'm telling. Then the Jags defense, their cornerbacks don't have the speed to They're trying to do that Seattle style defense, and you have to have the right players to pull that off, and they just don't have the speed to do it.
And one of the things with Moncrief is, so they played New England last weekend. They kind of shut down Robinson and Hearns, but they went to like second or third receivers. So Moncrief could be great against that.
Yeah.
So I did also Hopkins. He's on our spreadsheet as one of the top people. 7,900. He's really their only option, and they go to him a lot. And he's playing Atlanta, who loves high-scoring games. Like, they don't really like to play defense. They just love to get in shootouts. And I think at $7,900, he's been doing great every week. And I think he'll continue that.
Yeah, I have him also. I'm trying to take a look and see. Let's see. Yeah, he's got three touchdowns on the year. Last week he had 8 receptions, 101 yards, and 1 touchdown. I have him on my team this week.
And then the last receiver I have, which I keep going back to, I don't know why they don't raise the prices on FanDuel, is James Jones for the Green Bay Packers. He's still only $6,000. And he's with Aaron Rodgers at San Francisco. He seems like he's one of Rodgers' favorite receivers. He's doing awesome. Great every single week, and they're not raising the price, so I don't see how you cannot have James Jones on your team.
That's why I put Aaron Rodgers on my team, because you never really know. Like, he's not going to have a 5-touchdown game every single week. Cobb is for sure his number one guy. Cobb is electric. That guy's so fun to watch. And then with Adams,
shit in the bed,
doing the guy terrible,
ruining my real fantasy team.
James Jones and Ty Montgomery are. They're all three of those guys are good options this week. When you said James Jones, so I have another Jay Jones on my team, but I have Julio Jones. I don't think I need to explain this at all. I don't. No. I don't. If you don't know about Julio Jones,
how much is he?
Sorry, but you're in big trouble. Every week you play FanDuel, he's 9,400.
Yeah, he is dirty. I feel like at one point, teams are going to think to guard him. And that's what I worry about.
You would think that they're going to guard him, right?
Yeah.
Forgetting.
Oh,
whatever. I like Hankerson on their team too, because eventually it will come to a point where they're like, just double team him. Right. That's going to leave their secondary guys open. And Roddy White is not that guy anymore. So Hankerson's their number two option, I think.
I like that one.
All right. So... let's hit up those tight ends we got.
Some gay talk, bro.
Sounded a little weird. For top projected point scores, we've got Jason Witten, Kelsey, Baby Gronk. What did Miller call him?
Kelsey, Fake Gronk.
Fake Gronk.
And then he threw him over one-handed.
And then
tried
Jordan
to make
Reed.
A weird eye contact with him, and he just walked away.
Yeah. Well,
I love that guy. I love Von Miller.
With Von Miller. He gets so many penalties, though. he's so pissed. And then Witten, Reed, and Martellus Bennett are the best point per dollar. I didn't pick Bennett, but the Raiders just suck against tight ends. But Martellus Bennett sucks as a tight end.
I've read all those articles about Bennett being against the Raiders. I'm like, yeah, but he's Bennett, and they don't have a quarterback. What do you mean?
Every time I choose him, that fucker burns me.
If I lined up as quarterback, as tight end, and Brendan's throwing it to me, it doesn't fucking matter. He'll guard me, no problem.
He's just not good.
Yeah.
He might be good as a right tackle. He should do that.
The Bears are a fucking mess, man. I would not trust a Bears player. In fact, they're trying to like trade everyone off their team. They're trying to get rid of Forte.
I would get probably Forte.
Good luck getting rid of Cutler. Fucking A.
Poor body language.
poor body, poor life language. That guy is the worst. He has a very hot wife, though.
Wait, what?
He has a hot wife.
Isn't that the girl from The Hills?
The Hills and a few other shows. She's 9 out of 10 for me. It takes a lot to get to 10 for me.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm glad that you find her as a 9. That's
you know what? It's an 8.
Okay. Let's be realistic.
Cavallari, 8.
The fact that she married Jay Cutler drops her in my rankings.
Big time.
I hate Jay Cutler. All right. Let's go. Let's move on here. I chose Charles Clay this week. I've had him on my – he's only 5,000, and he's projected at 7.6 points overall, but I've been running with him. They've been using him as a really good – he's been – I don't know what I'm saying. He's been producing every single week. He had a good week last week also, and for 5,000 bucks, yeah, I'll take him. It allows me to get Julio Jones, and it allows me to get Aaron Rodgers on the same roster.
Yeah, that's a good pick at that price. Also, he's performing every week.
Right.
I chose Greg Olsen, Carolina. He's the only option for Carolina. Like, he's Cam Newton's everything.
Unless Cam Newton is going to do acrobatic flips into the end zone, he has to pass to Greg Olsen. And last week they had a play, was it last week or maybe the week before, where they had a play where they threw it to Greg Olsen. It was a penalty. Like, it looked like he was wide open, but they were double teaming him. So then they like put more guys on him. Next play, they went back to him and he scored again.
I feel like Cam Newton is Jerry Maguire and him, like, you complete me. And he's 6,300, a little bit more, but I mean, give me a grant. Against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay let Mariota go crazy on him. And there's not that many tight ends that you feel comfortable with, honestly. Like, Gronkowski's out this week. Kelsey, maybe. But it's limited who you feel comfortable with. And you really should feel comfortable with Olsen because he gets a lot of looks. And he's Cam Newton's main guy. And I think it's a good deal at 6,300.
Yeah, there's been... This season, there's been a lot of great games out of tight ends. This, last week was not one of those for Tyler Eifert. Got me 0 points. But
I'm saying there's no consistent tight ends.
Well,
there's Gronkowski.
That's Gronk. It. Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
well, so here's the other thing. So Jimmy Graham is 6,400. Olsen is 6,300. And both of those guys are projected under 10 points. Like, yeah, someone's going to have a breakout game. Someone might, you know, get that second touchdown. That's why for me, I'd rather save that money and go with someone like Charles Clay, who I can count on for 4 or 5 receptions, probably 20 to 30 yards. And there's a chance at a touchdown in there for 5,000.
That's true. You could save a lot of money on that.
Yeah. So that's why I went with it. And
he could get zero.
Well, that's what Tyler Eifert did. So it could happen. Could happen to anybody. If it's going to happen, I'm going to pay less for it. But he's projected it 7.5. So he's really
he's only two points off,
and you save 1,300. So
I agree.
All right, let's move on. I don't have any of the projections for kickers and defense because
no one does.
They don't matter. And you can just kind of pick whoever you like. So I pick McManus. And the Denver Broncos.
That's the best name ever. McMahon Anus.
That dude can kick. He kicks like 65 yarders like nothing.
Yeah, he did like a 62 yarder. Or not 60, it was like 55 yarder. But it was at least 20 yards past the thing.
They showed him kicking in the like the warm-ups. He was kicking 70 yarders.
One time he kicked one over a mountain. It was amazing.
I like that picture you had of Uncle Rico getting drafted on our Facebook page.
Just throw it right over that mountain. I chose Adam Vinatieri, Jacksonville, Indianapolis. I think it'll just be high scoring and fucking knows with kickers.
I kind of like those I kind of like indoor kickers. I know. I don't know if it makes that big of a difference, but there's no other, like, they're used. That's all they do is practice kicking. And now there's no other outside forces that are, you know, that might mess them up.
I agree. I always look at the top where there's going to be a high scoring game and try and find an indoor one. Just because I feel like they very, very rarely miss indoors. So for defense, those do matter. And I also chose the Broncos. They are flying around. I feel like we're talking about the Broncos a lot, and I think if we had Chris and Mark, they would also be talking about the Patriots. But the Broncos,
I think they'd be talking. We, you know, to be fair,
yeah,
the Patriots' offense has been playing amazing, and we've played Deion Lewis, you play Tom Brady, you play Julian Edelman, and you
play him a lot.
If you can get him, you play Gronk. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, I think, with the Denver Broncos defense. For 4,700 against Minnesota, Teddy Bridgewater, like, I get it, it's Adrian Peterson, but what I've been seeing, if they throw that ball, it is picked off, and it might be a touchdown.
It's crazy. Like, they are flying around. They're also at home, which is a big deal in Denver. And then, honestly, I don't know why they're so low. There's the Houston Texans are at $4,900 against Atlanta in Atlanta. Like,
that doesn't make sense.
I don't understand what's going on. Like,
doesn't make sense to me. The Arizona last week was sick. Also, they just they're awesome, but and they're going up against St. Louis, that's a good matchup, too.
Yeah, it's a good matchup. I understand the other ones. And then, you know, if you're going to – we're at home. We're playing the Minnesota Vikings, which are a big run offense, and we have a great run defense. So you're going to force Bridgewater to throw. I think it's a big steal to have the Broncos at 4,700. I also think the Seahawks at home against Detroit – it's only $600 more. That's a pretty good pick as well. Like, the Lions are reeling. Seattle needs another good win. I think that's also a really good one.
Yeah. That's it. That wraps it up. That's all. That's our whole team. Usually we'll have a couple extra members of the FanDuel crew with us. We will try to get back in the groove and have a podcast every single week for you. Any final words, Doug?
Yeah, we need to win this week. I don't want to hear any more shit from these Boston guys. Like I said, 3 weeks have only gone by, but if we start losing, if we lose these next two to these guys, we're never going to hear the end of this shit. So
I think they pulled the George Costanza. They tried to go out on top.
This is the
week. Like, let's just leave this one. Let's listen to the podcast. Let's listen to their picks.
Yep.
And then we can make some little minor adjustments and try to win again. They're doing the Belichick. They're stealing our play.
This is the week we win, B.
All right.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Yo.
See ya.
It's Marky Mark here. This is the FanDuel Manual. When I was in third grade, I thought football was lame. Until I saw Elway throw a long bomb on Sunday. Then it really grew on me, started playing fantasy. Realized Adam Schefter was the man of my dreams. Some X's and O's, that's what we are slinging. Football knowledge is what we are bringing. Rodgers at quarterback, the Niners on D. McCoy is your tailback and Gronk at TE. Make sure you check your matchups, those can get tricky. Start any wideout playing Oakland or Philly. Now sit back, relax, focus and listen. The FanDuel Manual, three men on a mission, yeah.